Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason coming up on Alice Intrigue. We'll talk about where the Bears stand going into their final preseason game, what we've seen from Caleb Williams, and maybe even a little bit of Hard Knocks. That and more coming up on Alice Intrigue. Jason, as you and I sit here, it is a Wednesday. The Bears are preparing for their final preseason game of the year Thursday in Kansas City. And one thing we do know is that the guys who play in it won't be Bears starters. There probably won't be Bears regulars. I'm looking at it as maybe players 40 through 90 participating, something like that.
Yeah, you need enough guys to fill out offense, defense, especially. There's going to be a lot of playing time, though, for some of these guys. I mean, and some of the guys like will want that. And from the Bears' perspective, there's a lot of these guys are not even in consideration to make the team, so they don't, there's not a lot of risk on their end. They're mostly healthy right now. As they sit out all these starters, it's Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker maybe that we're concerned about. Is there anybody else?
I think
pretty good overall. They've done well to keep the mileage off their running backs for the most part. Their key running backs, Swift and Johnson and Herbert. I guess one of the things that'll be interesting will be how much Austin Booker plays. He's obviously going to make the team, and he's been impressive. Has he been impressive enough that they're like, okay, we don't want to get him, we don't want to take any chances with him? Because he's been so impressive, and there is such a void at that position, Patrick, after Montez Sweat, that Austin Booker could be in the mix for one of those two through four spots at defensive end. And when I say two, I mean that's a starter.
Right. I worry that we conflate need with Austin Booker's. I don't want the world to think that that because Austin Booker has had a nice camp and because the Bears don't have a defensive end, that therefore Austin Booker equals the Bears starting defensive end. And I think there are some Bears fans, at least, that are trying to kind of force a square peg into a round hole, saying, oh, well, here's our guy.
I think and more what I would warn people about is that he may end up being your second-best defensive end. That doesn't mean he's good.
Yeah.
That's more what I would say.
Well,
and that happens with the Bears quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where they have, and especially, you know, if you go back the last 2 years, a lot of guys have been in these starting or second string or prominent positions that aren't actually that good, that wouldn't have those positions on another team.
Right, and that we've seen, you know, where, you know, a couple of years ago we look at a Bears receiving corps that all became free agents and nobody gave them any money. Real quick, Ryan Bates is the third other injury of note, but that's about it. Yeah, I mean, Austin Booker's a really interesting player in camp. There have been years in Bears land where that would qualify him for a lot more attention than he's getting just because the Bears actually have legitimate stars. I heard somebody the other day call him a poor man's Max Crosby and like, whoa, let's slow down. Like, please.
Oh, no, it's a huge leap. I mean, the reason that I'm fitting his training camp with their need together is because their need is so great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their need is really, really desperate. If they had even Yannick Ngakoue here, I wouldn't be talking about that. I wouldn't be saying anything other than, hey, that's a nice camp against other teams' second and third strings.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bears obviously didn't think that Austin Booker was enough to fix that problem. You know, we knew that they were in on Matthew Judon. Hard Knocks showed some details on Tuesday night that, you know, they essentially had a third-round pick out for him, provided that he would agree to a new deal with the Bears. He did not. So the Falcons traded for him. I think it's worth noting he has not agreed to a new deal with the Falcons yet either. But I don't think the guy's going to play a regular season snap unless he's got a new contract. So they're still working on it. We'll see what the price is there. I think the idea is correct. I think going and finding a veteran who plays the way the Bears like their defensive ends to play, which is first and foremost, they can they can stop the run, and then they can get after the quarterback, and they're willing to do the little things. You know, Matthew Judon, that's who he is. I think that's a good idea. I wonder whether there are going to be similar opportunities here between now and cut day for the Bears to make an addition.
What do you think is up with Yannick Ngakoue?
I don't know.
Is it just not going to happen? Because you would have thought it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
And he has gone and worked out for the Panthers and the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins, yeah. Didn't get either job. I mean, you'd think that if the Bears would have wanted him, he'd be here by now too.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get less than half of what he made last year when he got $10.5 million. I don't know whether he's come to grips with that, but that seems to be the verdict from around the league. The argument I would make for him here is, boy, you only need him 18, 20 snaps a game.
I like him as a third down specialist.
Yes, as a very specialized player. But, you know, and as you know, all it takes is one other guy to get hurt, and then all of a sudden we're pushing this guy who didn't have a training camp, who played half of last season, and when he did was just okay. We're pushing him into a role that's probably not suited for him. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, to me the most compelling part about this whole Judon idea is the Bears weighing their present against their future. And trading a third-round pick when you think you're going to be pretty good is still a pretty, you know, steep price, even if it would have been the Bears' fourth draft pick of the 25 draft.
Yeah, because they have 2 seconds.
Because they have two twos. I guess having the two twos gives them the flexibility to make a trade like that. But again, you know, if it doesn't work out, or, you know, if you're sending that third round pick for the privilege of overpaying Matthew Judon, like, that's a way to drive this otherwise pretty good roster.
Yeah.
Maybe not into a ditch, but it ties your hands in a way that doing nothing does not tie your hands that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ryan Poles, you could say this definitively, has been, and this is his word that he uses for it, but he has lived up to this. He's been extremely disciplined financially.
Right.
And there have been times, Pat, where it's maddening.
Right.
There have been times where you don't like it. And then there's times where it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
Dodged a bullet there. There are no bad contracts on this team, I don't think. And No killers.
No, I'm
thinking.
There's
no long-term killers. I mean, look at their highest-paid guys right now.
Right.
And it's like Montez Sweat and DJ Moore on contracts that are pretty appropriate for their production, their age, and length and things like that.
Yeah.
There is not a lot of, like, you know, Jimmy Graham, Eddie Jackson-type contracts that were killers for the last administration. That conservative approach, that disciplined approach. That's why Roquan Smith is not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated that move at the time.
I still do.
It has worked out kind of okay for them. It's not been the disaster that I thought it would be. That approach was why they could afford to take Keenan Allen on a 1 year, $24 million or whatever he's getting, $20 million. But it's going to mean you don't get guys sometimes. It was so clear in the way they depicted it. And Grant, and remember, the Bears sign off on everything that goes into Hard Knocks. So they didn't have a problem with you seeing that Matt Eberflus is on the practice field asking Jeff King, hey, do you think we're going to get him? And Jeff King saying, I do.
Okay.
Like, they had the deal in place, basically. And what the show implied was Ryan Poles was not willing to commit to the guaranteed money that Matthew Judon wanted, that would have really constrained what they can do in the next few years. And one of the reasons that they don't have any bad contracts right now, a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
So, like, Kyler Gordon still on his rookie deal, Tevin Jenkins still on his rookie deal. Those are going to come due pretty soon, and you want to make sure you have the money to extend the guys you really like.
I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody. The most exciting part, I think, about what the Bears have built is that this, you know, take away Keenan Allen and Tevin Jenkins, and the entire roster you can run back next year at your price. There is nobody looking for a raise at the end of this upcoming season short of Keenan Allen and Tevin Jenkins. And those two players are good. I mean, Keenan Allen, you know, if he's not Hall of Fame, he's Hall of Very Good as we sit here right now. Tevin Jenkins, when he's healthy, is a great run blocker.
Possibly their best O-lineman.
You can live next year without both of those guys and replace them with a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a second-round pick, whatever you do in free agency, and your roster still looks pretty good. I mean, your top 30 players, we're legitimately talking about maybe 28 of them, 27 are locked in through 2026. That's a really good place to start. And the minute you go spending, you know, overpaying somebody from the outside, who's being traded for a reason, you run the risk of spoiling that. He also might have been the missing piece. I mean, we, you know, there's that
Ryan
side
Poles
of it. Said
too. If he gets 20 sacks this year, I'm going to be sick.
I don't think he's going to get 20 sacks at 32. But, I mean, how about this? If he gets 10 and a half sacks, I think Ryan Poles should be sick. Like, that's the kind of production that they would have been trading for. good run, you know, somebody who stays healthy, because if he's getting 10 sacks, it's because he's healthy. Yeah. Staying healthy, playing the run well, tearing the quarterback down 10, 11 times, that's a really good player in this system.
Let's get back into the defensive end issue since we're here and talking about this. Let's make sure we're on the same platform here before we debate this, or before I just want to make sure we have a couple of things we can agree upon here.
Okay.
That we both generally think Ryan Poles has done a pretty good job building the roster from what he inherited.
Yes.
Talent wise, forget the salary cap, forget the discipline and responsibility with that. Mm-hmm. The players are good. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty good roster from what he started with. Secondly, defensive end is the second most important position on your team.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So if we're starting there, that's good. That's helpful. Now we can actually discuss. What do you make of the fact that he has not solved that problem? How do you explain that, or are you critical of that? What do you make of that issue not being addressed by this point?
In the moment, I thought Will Anderson would have made a ton of sense for them. As it turns out, they traded the pick and they wound up with Caleb Williams. I can't argue with that. I would challenge you to find me a defensive end that's been available in free agency in the last 2 years that was at a price even close to reasonable. And 2 years ago, the Bears signing a high-priced defensive end would have been silly because they weren't ready to win.
Right.
The ability to trade for Montez Sweat, I think, answers your question a little bit in that he did go out and get one. He hasn't gotten two, but he went and got one. And he should probably get credit for getting that one.
That Montez Sweat contract, by the way, will be like a bargain maybe even by next year.
Right. It seems crazy to say after, you know, this is a team that a year ago this time was in the middle of a losing streak that would get to 14 games. But that other defensive end spot, probably the one missing piece they have. Maybe, you know.
Well, if you're looking at their top positions, then yes. If you're looking at maybe your four or five most important positions, left tackle maybe is the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean.
Where you have a guy, but maybe not the guy.
I'm not worried about them not getting, you know, not finding a way to get Dallas Turner or anything like that. I don't think that there was a moment short of going and getting Jalen Carter, which, you know, we could sit there and argue Jalen Carter from a defensive tackle position rushing the quarterback, maybe that solves your defensive end problem. Maybe that's the only thing I'd nitpick. And, you know, the Bears obviously knew some things about Jalen Carter that they weren't comfortable with, because as a talent, he was probably the best player in last year's draft, and eight other teams decided he wasn't worth it. Yeah, he wasn't worth it either, you know. What do you think? I don't think it's malpractice, and I think Poles is in a good position now that we can circle one thing and say fix this, because a year ago it was fix these 14 things. But, man, they got to do better than Dominique Robinson on passing downs, right?
Yeah,
they got to do better than Austin Booker. I mean, Austin Booker, 500 snaps in college, most of them coming at Kansas last year after playing a little bit at Minnesota. He might be good, but if he's good, boy, he is the outlier among all the guys like him who never made it. I wouldn't count on him, and that's why I get uncomfortable when we talk about Booker filling a need. Sometimes when you've got a need that big, you squint to make it work. And I think the Bears might be squinting here because, as we know, if the Bears thought Austin Booker solved their problem, they're probably not throwing a third-round pick around.
I don't think anybody thinks that. Okay. I think we're kind of talking two different things here when we talk about Austin Booker. I don't want to get bogged down in this.
Okay.
I don't think anybody really thinks it. Maybe the delusional Bears fans on Twitter believe that, but I don't think anyone in House Hall thinks, oh, Austin Booker problem solved.
Is the answer.
I think it's like this is just – it's kind of a wide open competition for that other job because of the lack of talent. DeMarcus Walker is their best.
Right.
And they're talking about playing him at D tackle. DeMarcus Walker, has he ever had, I think he has 23 sacks or something like that in six seasons. I mean, he's not that guy. So it's really Austin Booker, kind of like some of these past situations with the Bears where he could end up being the best of what they've got, but what they've got is not great.
I'll tell you the one thing that if I were the Bears, I would regret. Maybe regret's not the right word, but Braylon Trice, who was the defensive end at the edge rusher at Washington this year, wound up going one spot before Kyren Amagaji. Kyren Amagaji, I'm sorry.
In the third round?
In the third round. He has since gotten hurt, so he's not going to burn you this year, or Trices. But boy, the idea of landing a really productive college edge rusher in the third round that you can build on, as opposed to a injury just a guy who was hurt, a guy who's not going to help you this year because Amagaji's not going to help them this year.
Right.
Boy, that would make me feel a little sick. And just that Trice went one spot ahead, you know, I think that was a tough break for Ryan Poles.
I think it is pretty difficult to find what you need at pass rusher after the first round, maybe after the first half
of the first round. Yep, sure.
The way I understand it is similar to what you're saying. Ryan Poles had so many enormous needs to fill when he took the job, and there hadn't been quite enough resources for that yet. They didn't have a first-round pick the first year that he was in charge.
In the second year, he used his first overall pick to make the greatest trade.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years.
If they kept that pick, the guy I would have wanted them to take was Will Anderson.
Yeah,
that's absolutely who I would have wanted them to take. If they'd stayed at number one and just used the pick, that's who I would have liked them to have. And I think that they were really high on him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what did he go? Third?
Two.
I think.
Two?
I think Stroud went two and Anderson went three.
Three or four.
He didn't go past four. I think he went third.
Because the Texans traded back up.
But I don't want to do I told you so, but if you go back to Ryan Poles' first draft, Will Anderson went third. You remember people were on him about the picks that he made that first year in the second round, taking Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. He inherited a roster that had so many needs. Yeah. And you can sit here and say, well, Ryan Poles burned that thing to the ground by getting rid of everybody. Who do you miss from the 2021 team besides Roquan Smith, maybe?
I think Khalil Mack turned out to still have something left.
Mack, he has, and he's been very good. Right. But that contract was totally untenable for them. You're right that Mack was still pretty good. So maybe Mack and Roquan.
Do you know who's the kind of player that would fit in great on this team?
Khalil Mack would be fantastic. But he basically, you know, you don't know it all at the time, but you come to find out that they need a quarterback too. So you're looking at your key premium positions, and you don't have a quarterback. You don't have a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You have one corner. Mm-hmm. You turn out to not have any receivers. Mm-hmm. Darnell Mooney was the guy you thought you had.
You had Cole Kmet. Yeah, Cole Kmet was a building block, probably.
Yeah, but you're still getting pretty down. I'm going pretty far down on my priority list before I get to tight end still.
Okay.
Because next, somewhere in there would be left tackle, and they didn't have that.
Right.
So he's got all these needs to fill. He wants to fill them responsibly rather than just let's snap up whoever we can get so we can go 10-7.
Right.
So he's doing it through the draft. And as he's looking at his roster in that first draft, well, there's major problems, Pat, in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You got one corner and a bunch of practice squad guys. It's Jalen Johnson and guys who shouldn't be in the league, probably. So where do the and he talks like this, I'm going to sound like I'm repeating Ryan Poles, but where do the needs and the resources match up?
Sure.
Well, 2 second-round picks, that's where you maybe take care of corner. Mm-hmm. That's where teams find good tight ends. That's where you sometimes find good receivers at that point. It's not where you find a quarterback.
Right.
It's not where you find a defensive end. It's typically not where you find the left tackle that you need. So you've got to give it time. And like you said, you could have addressed defensive end with that number one pick, but you know, then you don't have Caleb Williams. Yeah. And it's not like they knew that was the decision they were making.
Right.
Nobody knew Carolina would be that bad.
Right.
But boy, did they trade with the right team. There just hasn't quite been enough resources yet. What would you have wanted them to do differently? Nobody, I think, would say, well, I wish they would have taken Will Anderson instead of ending up with Caleb Williams. And with the number 9 pick, Roma Dunze, that is addressing a major need as well.
They've had 3 first-round picks since Ryan Poles took over. With it, they drafted a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a right tackle. The right tackle is a really good right tackle, and I think we are in an era of the NFL where it's not silly anymore to use a high pick on a right tackle. Another thing is,
but also Will Anderson was gone at that point.
Yes, too, right? and my Jalen Carter was not, or they could have taken Carter instead of moving back. The argument I would make to you too is that I think there's a world in which Darnell Wright at the end of this season becomes your left tackle, with 2 years to go. You know, 3 years if you pick up a fifth-year option. And then you don't have to go fill that position. And if that happens, and maybe that's a hypothetical, but I think it's certainly, if not likely, possible, then he has used his three first-round picks on a quarterback, a left tackle, and a wide receiver. Those are the positions outside of defensive end where you use your highest picks. And if he's had three of them, and you know the outlier is he didn't take a defensive end, I don't know what else you do. Like, I think that he's actually played that pretty well. I don't know. Show me the defensive end that he's had an opportunity to get, you know, during that time. I mean, I had to go back to freaking Braylon Trice in the third round. Like, that's the best I could come up with.
It's Will Anderson. I mean, that's what right. You have to say is, in the draft, where are the resources that could have been used to address that need? And it was the number one overall pick the year that they traded out of it. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson was not there, and I don't know what necessarily they thought of whoever was available after him. He was the clear best player at that position. Mm-hmm. He was a legit candidate to go number one, depending on who was picking at that spot and whether they needed a quarterback. And then the resources remaining were the number one and number nine pick this year. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you don't regret what you did with either of those.
No.
Now, if you want to talk about opportunities to trade for somebody or spend like that, those don't come up that often. And you look at what the move they did pull the trigger on, Montez Sweat, it's a huge price.
Right.
That is an incredible price to pay. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they would, I don't think they would want to trade back if they could. I think they like the deal they made, mm-hmm. but you give up a second round pick and $100 million.
Right.
Like, that is really expensive.
Right.
Money-wise and personnel-wise to do something like that. So as much as we want to sit here and say, well, the rebuild is done, the rebuild should be done, it's mostly done, but I can understand why they haven't addressed that need.
I think it'll
be not like they've made 1,000 mistakes everywhere else and not addressed that need. They've addressed what has been a long list of needs.
I think it'll be done next year at this time. And I think that you could sit there and, you know, if this Bears team is what we think they are, which is somewhere between 8 and 9, 9 and 8, 10 and 7, right? Can we agree on that?
Let's just say 10 and 7.
10 and 7, they're drafting 21st.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then they're Panthers. Let's say they're the bottom five team, so they're drafting again 32 to 37. Do you know who's not going to be available then? A good defensive end. That's, you know, in a way they will have played themselves out of an opportunity to get another good pass rusher. But then maybe you feel more comfortable at the end of this year either making a trade or waiting or doing the old NBA thing, which I think in the NFL makes more and more sense every year. Wait for someone who's good to get mad at their team. Like if there are 15 defensive ends on the planet that the Bears would, you know, give a third round pick and a lot of money to, or a second round pick, wait for one of them to get grumpy. And that happens in the NFL.
It happened this year with Matthew Judon.
Mm-hmm. I think it happened with Montez Sweat a little bit too. You know, I don't think he was thrilled to be traded, but I think it was clear that the Commanders were that it wasn't working. I think both sides were pretty much done with each other too.
I mean, he got traded because they were
bad,
wrecking everything, not necessarily because he was disgruntled. But yeah,
I don't think he was thrilled with them when he left.
Those guys are available. I would think if you had to bet on it right now, how does this problem get solved? Mm-hmm. Solved. Yeah. Not like Austin Booker solved or Yannick Ngakoue solved. It gets solved by using at least one of those second round picks to trade up in the first round and get somebody that you really, really like. And that would be a good position to be in if you get when you draft a defensive end in the top half of the first round, that's a starter right away. Uh-huh. That's not a developmental project. Right. So that's typically been a very good player from the jump. You put that on a rookie contract opposite Montez Sweat, who would be 28 or 29 at that point, on what will be a very appropriate contract based on his production and health, assuming everything continues. And you like what you have there. That's why there is, to me, a ceiling. That is an example of why there's a ceiling on how good the Bears could be this year, even if Caleb Williams is C.J. Stroud.
Sure.
If Caleb Williams has that C.J. Stroud rookie season, everyone thinks they're going to win the championship. They're still missing some things that keep them from being the 49ers or the Ravens or the Chiefs.
Yeah. I think it's depth and talent at defensive end. I think it's depth and talent on the offensive line. Those are the two things that concern me right now. I'll tell you this. If your scenario plays out where, you know, let's say you trade your first and your second to move up six spots in the first round. That guy you're going to draft is 12 years younger than Matthew Judon will be. You know, Rome Odunze is, what, 13 years younger than Keenan Allen is. All of a sudden, you're not only building a roster, but you're building a timeline that can go beyond this year or next. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, extending Matthew Judon, I mean, for what? For 2 years? Maybe he's a good patch, but he's just that. He's a patch. You know, if you can land on a good edge rusher in the draft, and easier said than done. I mean, there are a lot of bad edge rushers who have gone in, you know, the late first, early second round. If you can land on one, that'll fix a problem for a long time. And that timeline lines up with Caleb Williams. It lines up with Rome Odunze. It lines up with DJ Moore, even. You know, we can list a bunch of really good Bears players who, you know, are in their, mid to late 20s that, you know, could be around for a while.
Can you give me like 90 seconds on the quarterback situation going into Kansas City? Everybody but Caleb, we think will play before we get out of here.
As you know, I'm a Tyson Bagent fan. I think that he, I told somebody this the other day. I think I told you, if Caleb Williams, something happened and Caleb Williams couldn't play this year, I think Tyson Bagent would have as good a shot of throwing for 4,000 yards as anybody since Jay Cutler and Caleb Williams.
Well, I do think he'll look better this year.
I think
with the upgrades all over the
place. Yes,
like he will benefit from that the same way that Caleb Williams does.
I think that's mostly him being given the keys to a good car versus being given the keys to a crappy car. So we'll see him. We'll see Brett Rippon. You know, maybe Austin Reed. The Bears didn't play Austin Reed last time. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, Thursday night is going to be a competition to win maybe the last three or four spots on the roster. Those will then turn over again, probably in the first week, and they'll land a spot on the practice squad. And the practice squad, since it expanded a couple years ago, has actually been a pretty good spot for Bears training camp darlings to continue their employment. And the Bears have been really good at keeping 80% of the guys who do well in, or 80% of their practice squad is made up of guys who did well in camp that year.
If they're young.
Yeah, if they're young. And I think that's what we're looking for. I wouldn't be surprised if Bagent plays a little bit and sits. I think as week four preseason games go, or week three for everybody else in the world, your backup quarterback's a pretty valuable piece that you can't afford to get hurt. And I'm reminded too, Jason, that and then we'll go, but not to bring up a big picture question. The last time you and I were in Kansas City was week three of last year. Alan Williams wasn't there, and we were beginning to learn why. They got killed, and you know, we were at, you know, loss number what? Loss number 12 in a row. A year, less than a year later. As you know, I love the passage of time.
Yes.
Angle. Less than a year later, boy, this just feels like a different experience.
It does.
Feels like it could be.
The Bears and the Chiefs being on the same field gives you something to talk about, even though it's not going to really be the actual Bears or the actual Chiefs. It does. Look at last week. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams throws this 45-yard pass to Rome Odunze. Mm-hmm. That was a phenomenal pass. It was such a great pass. Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky cannot make that pass.
Absolutely.
Off one leg and a hop, right, running to the sideline and putting it like just precisely where it needed to be. Right. Incredible. All of Chicago's talking about that as the future, mm-hmm, of football in Chicago. Mm-hmm. At the same time, on the same afternoon, Patrick Mahomes is playing a preseason game for some reason and throws one behind the back to Travis Kelce because who cares?
Right.
It's just like this isn't even the beginning of anything for them. It was recess for,
right,
Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It's the future in Chicago. It's everything. In Kansas City, it's recess. Pat, what that tells you, it is a long, long climb to,
sure,
the top.
Also, we have had, you know, and the only reason for the comparison is Tyreek Hill tweeted at some point, apparently Tyreek Hill was bored and watching the Bears play a preseason game on TV, and he tweeted that he never even said the word Mahomes. He implied that Caleb reminded him of Mahomes. I'll remind you of last year during the regular season when LeBron James was tweeting about Justin Fields. You know, at the end of the day, it's fun, and it's fun for fans, and it's fun for us, but it don't mean squat when it comes to actually evaluating them. And yeah, I'll tell you this. If I were compared to Patrick Mahomes, that is so unfair to me. That is unfair to Caleb. That is unfair to anyone. Why don't we just try and be better than Jay Cutler? That is a goal that will take years to acquire or to reach. Let's get there, and then let's worry about being the greatest quarterback of our generation after that. That a good place to wrap up, Jason? You and I will be in Kansas City, so you can follow the Sun Times Thursday and all weekend long follow what's happening with the Bears. Until then, you can follow Jason, myself, and Mark Potash on social media. You can just check us out on the Sun Times website, on their app, and in print if you live in town. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.